First, another senior Trump administration official is out of a post today via tweet. Trump effectively fired Chris Krebs, director of the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, last night. That was after Krebs affirmed the 2020 general election was safe and accurate, contrary to what the president has been pushing without evidence. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How are you viewing President Trump's actions since the election? Do you think the White House should cooperate with the incoming Biden administration, especially on issues like COVID-19 and vaccine distribution? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. The Week in Washington. We're looking at several stories in national politics, including the one we just mentioned. Lauren Gambino is a senior political reporter for The Guardian covering the 2020 presidential campaign. Lauren, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, your assignment to cover the 2020 presidential campaign, not quite ready to wind it down yet, I guess.
We are still going. There's lots left to cover.
Well, let's get to this this latest firing. Some top Defense Department officials, Homeland Security officials have been removed by the Trump administration since Election Day. What do we know about Chris Krebs and this election security post that he had held?
So in this role, he had really staked out a position, especially recently, that clashed with the president. He was adamant that the elections had... there was not widespread fraud like the president was claiming. And he was very, he had this blog where he would counter rumors that often Trump and his allies were amplifying. And so he was sort of seen as very vulnerable within his office. He had expected this. We've been reading allies say this was coming for some time, just because he was taking such a public stand to try to say our elections were secure, they were safe, you can trust the result. Obviously, the president has yet to concede. And he has been, as you mentioned, baselessly amplifying claims of widespread voter fraud, and he's taking action in several states to try to contest the results there. And so, this was sort of the latest escalation of that fight by the president and the president's campaign.
What kind of reaction have we seen, especially from Republicans in the Senate? I see there's been some praise of Krebs, at least on his way out.
Yeah, it's such a partisan moment. And what we know about Krebs is that he was actually someone who was seen by both parties as just good at his job, a trusted figure, and someone who could work with all the parties at a particularly polarized moment. And so he has received some praise from both Republicans and Democrats, who did say they appreciated working with him. They appreciated that he was honest and forthright and just very blunt about what needed to be done to secure the elections and sort of what had happened. He was just very, very forthright about how he viewed the election and election security.
Staying with what the Trump campaign now is doing since Election Day, they've been involved in a lot of court filings and cases in states around the country. Really, Pennsylvania has been one of the big stories. What are some of the latest developments you're watching?
So, as you said, Pennsylvania was sort of ground zero. We were watching that yesterday because Rudy Giuliani was in court. It's the first time he's really been in court in several years for him, and he just did not seem to know exactly what was going on. He was met with serious skepticism from the judges in that case. Republicans lost a case before the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. We also saw yesterday in Michigan kind of an extraordinary scene play out there where two members of Michigan's elections board, two Republicans refused to certify the results in this obviously incredibly important swing state. And then there was massive backlash and uproar, and they immediately changed and voted to certify the results. But it was just seen as really sort of an extraordinary step in the depths that Trump and his allies are going to try to at least delay certification of this election, which, by all accounts, Joe Biden won.
And another story you've been following, I know, and wrote about, South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham just reelected, called Georgia's Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger and asked about signatures on mail-in ballots and whether that he raised the issue, according to Raffensperger, of whether that could be cause to discard whole collections of ballots. I want to give a listen, first of all, to Georgia's Republican Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger speaking to CNN.
I asked if the ballots could be matched back to the voters, and then I got the sense it implied that then you could throw those out. And he really would look at the counties with the highest frequent error of signatures.
And then I want to give a listen to Senator Graham explaining himself here and responding to criticism of the actions also from CNN.
What I'm very concerned about is that if you're going to continue to vote by mail, that we need to know what systems work and what don't. It's up to the people of Georgia. But I think I have every right in the world to reach out and say, how does it work? And that's what I did. It's really, a pretty good conversation. So,
I mean, he thinks it's an implicit threat.
I categorically reject that. That wasn't my intent, and that wasn't the purpose of the conversation to throw out ballots. We're talking about an election we haven't even had yet, which is the Senate races. That was my focus.
So we have people saying, hey, wait, why is this senator from South Carolina trying to get ballots tossed out in Georgia? Senator Graham saying, no, I'm just checking out the process here. What else do we need to know about this story, Lauren?
It's difficult because, it, as you just showed, it's sort of a he said situation. However, we do know, Raffensperger has been under immense pressure from the president on down. This is a Republican election official who's now suddenly, in the middle of this massive intra-party fight. And he is saying that Graham seemed to suggest something incredibly undemocratic. Graham, we should note, is the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. So this would be sort of an extraordinary step for someone in that role to even suggest tossing out legally cast ballots. We know there's some Democrats, notably Hakeem Jeffries in the House, who have called for Graham to be investigated over this to try to get to the bottom of what was said and what was suggested. Republicans are defending him. It's saying, we just want to know that the system works. And he was just doing due diligence, trying to understand what was happening in these various states where there have been these claims, again, most of them unfounded as far as we know. But there are also different ethics groups who've even gone as far as to call for Graham's resignation over this. So we'll see where that goes, if there's sort of any repercussions from this. But as far as we know right now, Graham is saying that wasn't his intent, and he's just trying to get to the bottom of mail-in balloting and whether it's safe.
It's the Week in Washington, our every Wednesday-ly look at the top stories in national politics. Lauren Gambino with us from The Guardian. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of what you're seeing since Election Day from the Trump administration, from President-elect Biden's team, and what do you want to see from either or both? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Tom is with us now in Madison. Tom, hi.
Good afternoon. I think we are seeing a perfect example here of the fact that Donald Trump never really advanced mentally beyond toddler status. He is just a spoiled little child, and, he's behaving like one. And as far as Lindsey Graham goes, the only election he needs to pay attention to are those in South Carolina. He needs to be removed from office.
Tom, thanks for calling in at 800-642-1234. And Lauren, I think a lot of people trying to psychologize about the president's motivations right now. What kind of things are you hearing people talk about as they try to figure out where the president's going with this election? Oop, Lauren, are you there? Uh, Missing our guest, Lauren Gambino from The Guardian. You can join in our Week in Washington conversation at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts on the latest in national politics, what you're seeing from the Trump and Biden campaigns. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. We'll continue the conversation, hopefully, with guest on the line coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk now with Lauren Gambino, senior political reporter at The Guardian, looking at some of the top stories in national politics. In just a moment, we'll turn to what the Biden team is doing as they start to work toward Inauguration Day in January. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want to hear from Biden? Who do you want to see in top positions of authority, cabinet picks, and things like that? 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. Lauren, before we move to the Biden team, let's talk about our caller before the break. Said this is basically just a personality issue with President Trump not wanting to acknowledge a loss. A lot of people try to figure out the president's motivations, his next course of action here, whether he's gearing up for a 2024 run. Can you tell us about some of the speculation around Washington, given that the only one who knows what's in the president's head is the president himself?
Yes, I would not want to say I know exactly what he's thinking, but I'm certainly this is someone who, you know, one of his favorite insults is loser. He really doesn't like people around him who he considers losers. And I think the idea of losing an election is just so, you know, so oppositional to what he believes. And I think this is really, yes, I think you can guess that it's really difficult for him personally. You know, at the same time, he has been laying the groundwork to claim that the election was perhaps that fraud played a role in this election. Even well before, you know, ballots went out, he was talking about problems with mail-in balloting that weren't supported by the evidence we had about mail-in balloting. And he was claiming that, you know, there might be possible instances of fraud. So we do know that he was preparing for this eventuality. And that's why I think it's important to consider that context when we see his campaign in some of these states try to delay or even overturn the results there.
Let's bring out another caller now at 800-642-1234. Moose with us in northern Minnesota. Moose, hi.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. What do you want to bring up?
Well, I want to applaud Chris Krebs for his integrity and courage to do his job, even though he was fired for doing so. And I think it's important to note, in this election cycle, and especially in our pandemic response, that history is going to be watching. And it's important for all of us to step up like this man has and do the right thing. We're living in a world where immigrants are termed criminals, that without proof or evidence that there's judgments made. And I think it's important for us to fall back on evidence and fact rather than just our emotions. In terms of what's happening next, I don't imagine what's going on in anybody else's mind, with the exception of everybody's really getting tired of hearing about non-concession and fraud without proof.
Moose, thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. Lauren, that said, there's a pretty big alternative media infrastructure advancing exactly that narrative of fraud. People are going to be talking about this one way or another for a while, aren't they?
Yes, that's exactly right. And I think that's one of Joe Biden's biggest challenges coming into office. He's got to, you know, he said he wants to unite the nation, but, you know, he's working with this sort of alternative media environment where they pump out these, you know, sometimes downright conspiracy theories, sometimes misinformation or sort of, you know, information lacking context. And he's got to contend with that because there are plenty of, you know, more than 73 million Americans voted for Donald Trump. And at least some of them do believe that, you know, they don't believe that he lost the election. And so, I that's something that Biden will have to contend with.
Thanks for that call, Moose. We'll go now to David in Grand Marsh. David, hi.
Hello there. You know, I just had a thought in this election has gone and where we're at now. And I just don't see the harm in including the Biden administration in with the briefings, the security clearance briefings, and the COVID pandemic strategy for the serum or for the vaccines and stuff. Why not bring those people on board and let the, you know, the court or whatever Trump is doing to get his, you know, final answer on the election, let that run its course. But I just don't understand how all these Republicans in office right now don't see the harm doing to this country.
David, thanks a lot for the call. David hitting Lauren on a big issue that's been raised over the last couple of days, a possible risk to vaccine distribution if the new administration isn't getting information starting pretty soon. What are we hearing about that?
Biden just said that again today, that he's worried about not having, you know, enough information coming into his presidency about vaccine distribution. He said, you know, this could, not knowing and not being able to prepare and plan now, could delay vaccine distribution by weeks or even months. So we know this is, you know, a really big concern for the Biden transition team. But also, you know, increasingly we are seeing Republicans start to say, at least some on Capitol Hill start to say that they think that Biden should have access to this information. He should be included. And I have to believe, you know, that those calls will grow as this gets closer and closer to, you know, to Inauguration Day. And there's obviously deadlines before then. But I think, you know, you are starting to hear Republicans. So the caller makes a great point. And, you know, this is something that's happened every 4 years for, you know, for hundreds of years. So hopefully the Trump campaign will recognize and allow an orderly transition of power. So we don't have to worry about, you know, delayed vaccine distribution.
Thanks for that call. Staying, I think, with the Biden transition, Mike joins us now in Oconomowoc. Mike, hello.
Hi. I had a question regarding the Biden team's economy take. I haven't heard a whole lot about this. My only concern right now is that we clearly have a Trump-driven economy, not dealing with the COVID, but everything post-Obama era. He brought this economy to bear. Everybody is reeling well off of it, even during this COVID. Gas prices are at all-time lows since probably, the early 90s. So what has the Biden team talked about? How are they going to keep this economy steamrolling forward and upward so that we see this benefit all of us who are continuing to work every day and put gas in our cars?
I gotcha, Mike. Thanks for the call. Lauren, what are we hearing from Biden and his team so far on economic issues?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the way the Biden team sees it, they believe that the economy is tied to controlling the coronavirus. So they don't think that the economy can really, you know, have an economic revival until, until everyone across the country feels more comfortable about going outside their home, you know, and they're kind of expecting it's going to take possibly a vaccine. So we're looking at probably several more months before businesses can really feel comfortable opening entirely and you've got, you know, members of the public willing to go out and spend money publicly. So that's kind of the front end of their plan. But Biden has laid out a fairly ambitious economic agenda, which includes a lot of climate proposals, elements of, you know, trying to tackle racial injustice as part of his economic vision. So, you know, fairly ambitious. It's something that, you know, both sides of his party have agreed to. But it definitely will be something that Republicans push back on him over when he tries to implement this. But he does have a plan that, you know, it's sort of based around reviving manufacturing, really investing in American-made manufacturing and trying to really kickstart sort of a green economy and green jobs. So we'll see how far he's able to get with that. But that is the agenda he's laid out.
Thanks a lot for that call. In our last couple of minutes, Lauren, Democrats happy about the outcome at the top of the ticket, but they lost seats in the House, didn't have an outside chance of taking the Senate, depending on what goes on in Georgia. That is not what they were hoping for. There are some recriminations between different wings of the party. What kind of things are we hearing there?
Yes, moderates and progressives are really having it out. You know, they kind of came together to oppose Donald Trump. But now that we see all the results are coming in and you see what happened, moderates believe that progressives went too far, embracing this idea of defunding the police. And they're blaming them for, you know, really supporting slogans that just don't work in more conservative or swing districts that some of these members represent. Progressives are saying, you know, moderate members, they need to have bigger visions and be more ambitious and be much more strong and their brand, have their own brands that they can withstand some of these Republican attacks on them. So it's really difficult because I think the results sort of give something for everyone to cling to. You know, progressives can point to some big cities where they saw, you know, turnout really increase. But moderates can also point to, you know, some of their biggest gains were in the suburbs, these more moderate swing districts. So it's going to be a fight we're going to see play out. I think we'll see it play out big time in the Georgia runoffs, where you're probably going to need a base turnout for Democrats plus a lot of enthusiasm in the suburbs for Democrats to even hope they can win these seats.
Briefly, as we wrap up, Lauren, what story do you have your eye on next?
Actually, just as we were talking about, I'm really watching how the Georgia Senate race comes together, because it's just a really interesting test of both parties in this sort of post-Trump era, I think.
Lauren, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thank you so much.
Lauren Gambino is senior political reporter for The Guardian. She's been covering the 2020 presidential campaign and its aftermath. We've talked about some of the top national political stories, including President Trump's continuing battle against the election results and how Biden's camp is moving forward, plus Democratic Party reaction.